It is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The state agency that oversees licensing credentials in hundreds of occupations announces it issued over 60,000 credentials last year. That was a record number. As we discuss the work behind regulating occupations and safety standards, call in with a question, share comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Dan Harith is Secretary Designee of the Department of Safety and Professional Services. Secretary Designee Harith, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Kate, thanks for having me.
So your agency issued more licenses than any other year since at least 2017, from your dashboard as of last year. What's causing the agency to issue more licenses?
Yeah, you know, I like to talk about it. The common phrase I use is we've issued more licenses more quickly than at any point in the history of the agency. And that 60,000 number would be a record all time, actually, for our agency. And what caused it was really a lot of different inputs. But first, I got to give credit to the governor for investing in our agency. For many years, there was an overall lack of investment in our systems and in our people. At the same time, we were experiencing record increases in application volume. As a result of the governor's investment in the agency, we put to work more systems. We upgraded the technology, which I think we discussed the last time I was with you. And we invested in the people. We invested in training. We invested in adding additional people, both through a temporary workforce as well as other methods. And the end result has been, as you point out, a record-breaking year. You know, one of the things that I think is really important about this is that this isn't just about a number of licenses issued. This is really about the people who are going to work every day in our communities serving Wisconsinites, whether they're nurses or doctors or accountants or electricians. It's about the services that Wisconsin people need to receive to enjoy living here in this state. One of the things that I think I'm particularly proud about is if you look at the 2023 data and the from our fiscal year 2023, the improvement in our licensing actually resulted in $54 million in additional wages for Wisconsinites.
So are the current processing levels sustainable in your agency?
Yeah, you know, I think every day we work very hard to continue to make incremental improvements. But the reality is you know, while our improvements have been dramatic, behind those improvements, a piece of it is people. And in my last budget request, I think I requested a record number of people. The outcome of that request was, I think, about 13, at least in terms of credentialing, 13 temporary workers. Now, those workers will be available to us for some time. But staffing government services off of temporary workers is not sustainable. So we look forward to, as I mentioned in a committee hearing few weeks ago, we look forward to providing the legislature and others with a detailed staffing analysis, which will ultimately include the addition of permanent workers to the agency.
So your agency reports that roughly 3% of all applications take over a year to receive a license. Why do some credentialing cases take so long?
Yeah, it really depends on the type of application and the applicant that we're working with. You know, I think for starters, we don't mandate that or limit the ability of an applicant to apply at any time. So if let's say I'm a PT student, mm-hmm. and I'm in my second year of school, well, I could apply immediately in that second year of school. Other applications like social work and some therapy applications, there's actually over 2,000 hours of postgraduate training. And so, it's hard to say without looking at the specific application, but many times there are process-related reasons which drive the timing. And in fact, most times, I'll give you a real good example. Our nursing licenses in 2023 for the graduation season 2023 took roughly about 41 days. That was the median. That, based on or compared to a 2021 NPR article, would actually make us the fastest in the nation for RNs. But what comprises that 40 or that, I believe I said 41 days, what comprises that number? Well, that number actually is comprised over 80% of the department waiting on the student to successfully complete their national examination. Only about 7 or 8 days of that time frame is actually the department spent reviewing the application. So that's just one example of the types of things that can impact application length.
We're talking about the state's professional licensing agency. Dan Harith leads the Department of Safety and Professional Services. Call in with a question. You can share your comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. The nonpartisan Legislative Audit Bureau report found your agency last year cut the average time roughly in half to issue a healthcare license. Are you satisfied with the audit's results?
You know, I think the audit, they did a really nice job of confirming what we already knew in terms of our success in the process. You know, and I think the audit results are largely reflective of our work. Now, one of the things I do have to say is that, you know, there were a number of other things pointed out in the audit that, you know, we agreed with to a point. But it's, you know, it's important to realize that these auditors are doing their best job in terms of coming in for about 6 months and really trying to understand over 250 different processes that we have to operate in order to credential and license Wisconsinites.
What item would be an example of your agency taking issue with in this audit?
Well, you know, I think, off the top of my head, I think there were some descriptions of various processes that didn't necessarily align with how the statutes and rules require us to operate some of the processes. You know, at the end of the day, though, I think the Audit Bureau made good recommendations in terms of improving processes. The reality is many of their recommendations pointed to creating more robust information and more robust data to share with license holders so that we could drive license holder success. And that's really what we've been focused on here in 2024. Really, I've internally, I've somewhat sometimes referred to 2024 as the year of communications and data. And the reason for that is that is really that nursing number I mentioned, that 80% of the process really isn't driven by the department. And actually, that was one of the things that the Audit Bureau's report pointed out. I think in their report, over two-thirds of the licensing timeframe was driven by external
forces,
inputs, whether it was the applicant or testing services or waiting on transcripts from universities. And so how do we better communicate with applicants, better communicate with our partners to continue to drive those timeframes down? One of the things that is actually a first in the nation change that we've made is that we're offering limited access to our portal to all Wisconsin based universities and colleges so that they can do things like approve graduation in bulk and review and see in real time the progress of their students through our processes. That does two things for us. First, it allows us to more efficiently review applications, especially as it relates to graduation status, but it also allows us to, in a sense, employ our third-party partners as our advocates and our eyes and ears on the ground with the applicants as they move through the process.
Let's take a call. Sierra in Wautoma is with us. Hi, Sierra.
Hi there. I am a registered nurse and I've been one for a few years. So when I first applied, I had to take and pass my NCLEX and then apply for a license. And then now I've known that it recently switched to where you can apply for the license and get the, all that set up and then take your NCLEX. And then it's a faster process. It took me a few months to get mine. I was wondering if other states do that and how we compare to other states when it comes to licensing for RNs.
Yeah, one of the things that I really did the first week on the job is take a hard look at the nursing licenses. Nurses for the department make up about 25% of all license holders, and they make up roughly 25 to 30% of our annual license holder or license application volume. And so it was really critical for me to see how we could impact that group as quickly as possible. And I'm quite proud of this. One of the things that we did was really create what I refer to as passive review. And so we worked with the Wisconsin Nursing Board to, in essence, allow students to be authorized to test as soon as they've graduated. And so previously what we had to do was we had to wait on transcripts. We had to then review those transcripts to confirm graduation, and then we would allow them to test. While students are required to have graduated in order to take the NCLEX by state statute, our review of that material is not necessarily required. So we're in essence saying, look, if you say you've graduated, we're going to take your word for it. We're going to allow you to test, and then we're still going to review your transcripts and your graduation material prior to issuing you a license, because at the end of the day, having graduated is a requirement for the license. And so that passive review really allows us to expedite that testing process.
Is that customary in other states as well?
You know, I'm not entirely certain how other states handle it. Mm-hmm. Different states have different requirements as it relates to, I'll call it the order of operations. One of the other things, I mentioned that portal earlier. We actually piloted that portal with the LEAP portal with nursing programs. And so what nursing programs can now actually do to add some additional efficiency and safeguards to the process is they log in. They approve graduation in the portal, and then our department has automated that downstream process. So that immediately tells the system this person has graduated, immediately pings electronically the Pearson View and the national testing folks to allow that person to sit for the exam. And one of the other safeguards we put in is that the nursing programs can actually edit the stated graduation date. So if for some reason there was a mistake made on an application, the school can log in and make sure that the correct graduation date is listed on the application.
Dan Harith is Secretary Designee of the Department of Safety and Professional Services, leading the agency that issues hundreds of professional licenses and regulates building codes. Call in with the question, share comments, 800-642-1234. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is a State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We discuss developments in the state agency that regulates professions and oversees state building codes. And you can be part of the discussion. Call in with a question. Share your perspective. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Dan Harith is Secretary Designee of the Department of Safety and Professional Services. We heard from Lauren in Beloit, called in to say that they're a social worker, and they said they went through an abysmal process trying to get their license to do therapy. Lauren says the website doesn't give clear instructions for what they're looking for, and it creates more work for the staff and the applicants, and wonders what improvements can be made to the website.
Yeah, I'm so glad that she mentioned that. One of the things, as I said earlier, communications and data is really going to be our focus in 2024. And part of that is actually thanks to additional federal funding that the governor provided the agency, we're going to be able to do a complete website overhaul. The reality is that the traditional way that government communicates with its customers is not necessarily the way that people consume information these days. So it's really about looking towards a multimodal way of communicating with our customers. So that starts with the website, that starts with making the information on the website more accessible and less of the kind of traditional wall of words, if you will. But then it continues on by providing our applicants with new and innovative ways to communicate with the department through things like chat features and other modern customer service tools. And then the other thing that we've been doing a lot of lately is actually hosting webinars that we've been able to record and reutilize. One of the, while I'm not necessarily all in social media, as some people are, one of the really fascinating use cases of it is actually to expand and your reach by reusing media multiple times, the proverbial twofer, if you will.
Your agency's dentistry examining board allowed our state's only dentistry school to qualify as a testing organization last year, and this lets graduates start practicing before taking a licensing exam. Is this program retaining dentists in Wisconsin?
Well, so the first class that this will be applicable to will be our 2024 class. We're really excited about this. That test had come under some fire in recent years for a variety of reasons. And it should be noted that it's one of two national exams that that are traditionally required by dental schools. But in our work with Marquette and in our board's work with Marquette, it was readily apparent that the testing that occurs on a day in and day out basis, while those students perform procedures, oftentimes on live patients, and sometimes on mannequins, was far superior to a one-day high-stakes exam in terms of evaluating the competency of that graduating professional. I think at the end of the day, we are interested in taking innovative steps. And one of the themes that you'll hear or that you've probably heard from me is that postgraduate testing drives application timeframes. And so the more we can reposition those tests to be pre-graduate or rethink the way that we identify and confirm competencies, the quicker that we can issue licenses and the faster that we can move people into the workforce. One of the key statistics that I've heard, although I don't recall the specific statistic, is just that people who move into their first job post-college are much more likely to stay in the area that they where they move into that first job. So the faster that we can get these folks into the workforce, the higher degree of likelihood that they'll stay right here in Wisconsin.
Which, staying here in Wisconsin, it makes me wonder, how does your agency feel about licenses that are good across state lines, like for dentists, through license reciprocity with a number of other states?
Yeah, we've been all in on licensing compacts. They're sort of sweeping the nation right now. Wisconsin is certainly a leader in adopting licensing compacts. They're a tool in Wisconsin that has broad bipartisan support. And one of the really nice things about them is it's a group of states getting together to say, here are what we think a competent professional needs to do in order to prove that they're ready to practice in our states. And then we have that a shared vision of what that looks like. Oftentimes, when people run into difficulties moving from state to state with a license, it's not necessarily anyone's fault, but it's the fact that the two states have vastly different licensing requirements. So the more we can standardize, and compacts are a great tool to do that, the better off we're going to be as a nation.
We're discussing agency updates at the Department of Safety and Professional Services with Secretary-Designee Dan Harith. Call in questions and comments, 800-642-1234. Let's turn to the prescription drug monitoring program. The CDC, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, reports about 1,800 people died from drug overdoses in Wisconsin during the most recent 12 months of data. What changes is the agency considering to further reduce drug overdoses through the prescription drug monitoring program?
Yeah, I always like to tell people it's an award-winning program. We've won multiple national awards for this program, and it really has nearly eliminated doctor shopping here in the state of Wisconsin. For your listeners, doctor shopping is a practice where people seeking out prescription medications might go to multiple doctors for the same medication. That's very difficult to do now here in Wisconsin. The unfortunate reality is that many of the overdoses that we're seeing are no longer prescription drug overdoses. It's oftentimes people who maybe whose problems started on prescription drugs, but because of our success in decreasing that access, they've now turned to the illicit market. And so at least on the prescription side, we continue to augment the system by providing physicians and others with even more robust data and visualizations around prescribing practices so that we can help our physicians and our other prescribers best understand best practices in the space. On the illicit side, obviously that's a little outside the scope of our program, but we continue to partner with our police and our other first responders to identify on an annual basis kind of new substances that should be controlled here in the state of Wisconsin.
Secretary-designee Harith, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely, Kate. Thanks so much for having me, and have a wonderful morning.
Thank you. You too. Dan Harith is Secretary-designee of the Department of Safety and Professional Services. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.